This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz.
It's been 18 months of heartbreak and questions for Dawes' family. And after seeing that body cam video last night here on Channel 8, they're angry at how the case has been handled. Our Rebecca Lopez has been on this story since the beginning. She joins us now from downtown Dallas with their story. Rebecca?
Well, the family wants to know why the Dallas Police Department did not release this videotape to the public, and they say they should have had an opportunity to see the video. They say there's a lack of transparency. Genevieve Dawes' family wore shirts with her picture on them to a news conference today.
It's been hard. I miss my daughter.
They want to know why the Dallas Police Department never showed them the video of what happened the night Dawes was shot and killed in January 2017.
All we heard was she tried to put the car in reverse and hit two Dallas police officers, and that she took 5 rounds to the chest, and that was it.
News 8 first obtained the body camera videos from multiple officers. It shows former officer Christopher Hess firing 13 rounds into the car Dawes was driving.
Don't move!
And what type of transparency is it that you have that type of evidence and it just can't at least be shared with the families to let them know what happened?
Officer Jason Kimple fired one shot into the car. This is his body camera video. Former Dallas Assistant Chief Randy Blankenbaker was in charge of the unit that investigated the case. He says the video was clear to him that both officers violated the use of force policy.
You're responsible for every round that leaves your weapon. Now, you're told that every single time that you go to the pistol range to qualify.
The officers were responding to a stolen vehicle. As they approached the car and yelled commands, Dawes tried to leave, hit a squad car once, then tried to drive forward, and then backed up again. Officer Hess told investigators at that moment he thought there were officers behind the car and that they were in danger of being run over.
That vehicle was traveling at a very slow rate of speed. No officer was in any danger whatsoever. There was no one back of that vehicle.
Dawes' boyfriend, who was in the passenger seat, crawled out of the car. Officer Hess, who shot the most bullets, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault by a peace officer. Officer Kimple was suspended and is back on the force. A grand jury cleared him of all charges.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. Hope you're having a great day. Please join me on Instagram. Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones, at Valerie Denise Jones, or Miss Valerie Denise Jones. I really, truly hope that you subscribe to both pages. Hit the like button, share, subscribe. Also, hit me up in the DM if you have show ideas or guests that you'd like for me to interview. All right, today we are in studio with Attorney Darrell Washington. Attorney Darrell Washington is here. I'm getting ready to open up his mic and let him introduce himself.
Valerie, yes, thank you for having me. As you know, Valerie, I practice civil rights law in Dallas, Texas, and throughout the United States. I'm one of the attorneys that represent the family of Botham Jones. We also have a number of cases that are currently going on here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, one being 21-year-old Genevieve Dawes. Genevieve was shot multiple times by a Dallas police officer, so we are in the midst of handling that civil trial, along with the trial of Jordan Edwards, 15-year-old Jordan Edwards, who was also killed by a Box Springs police officer. That police officer was convicted of murder, so we were pretty happy that we were able to get a murder conviction against that officer as well, and we are currently now in the midst of handling the civil litigation. We have a number of cases in San Antonio, Texas, one being the wrongful death of 18-year-old Charles Roundtree, who was killed by a San Antonio police officer. So we just unfortunately have a number of these cases going on at the same time, but it's just really our hope to try to get some type of closure if there's a such thing for the family, but more importantly, to get justice for the families. Genevieve's name is spelled G-E-N-E-V-I-V-E Dawes. That's spelled D-A-W-E-S. And if they were to just put a search into Google under the Genevieve Dawes video, you can actually see the video of the police officers shooting at Genovese. The other person I mentioned is Charles Roundtree, Jr., and that's just Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, Roundtree, R-O-U-N-D-T-R-E-E, Jr. That case is pending in San Antonio, Texas. We also have Jordan Edwards, and that's J-O-R-D-A-N, Edwards, E-D-W-A-R-D-S. And as I said, Valerie, I mean, we could probably be on here an hour, unfortunately, talking about the number of victims that we currently are representing right now.
Thank you, Attorney Washington, for that answer. Right now, guys, you are listening to the Judge Joe Brown Show. I am Valerie Denise Jones. Thank you so much for those of you who are keeping people abreast of what's happening on social media. I thank you so much for tweeting and sharing your thoughts on the various platforms. Also, I see that people are giving updates via the chat room. Also, our international callers are listening. Thank you so much for that. Attorney Washington, speaking of support, how can we support your efforts outside of the obvious? I know that we can sign petitions, we can make phone calls to elected officials. I know that we can do a lot of things, but do you have any suggestions that could definitely support your efforts?
I mean, the one thing that generally happens in these cases, when the public hears about these shootings, there's a lot of outrage and there's a lot of public support. But as you know, generally what happens is that support goes away. And I think it's important that people continue to let their voices be heard, because as I've always said, today it's Botham Jones' case that we're dealing with. Tomorrow it may be someone that you know personally. So because of that, when we're able to get justice for one, it becomes justice for all. So they just have to continue to let their voices be heard. Another thing that's extremely important is anytime you have the opportunity to serve on a jury, you want to make sure that you do everything in, everything possible to serve on the jury and not find reasons not to serve. Because it just makes a world of a difference when we are able to have a diverse jury. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. We have to vote in this presidential election. You know, it's very important that our voices be heard. You know, the things that are going on right now with some of these federal appointments, you know, it has an impact on our community. So it's very important that people come together and make sure that they vote.
All right, Attorney Washington, I need to double back because earlier I mentioned that a protest would be a way to support, and then now you just mentioned voting. We are in an emergency status, and I want to briefly touch on the coronavirus because people have been quarantined to their quarters, so people aren't getting out as much. Do you have any suggestions what we could do from the comfort of our own home? And also, has the coronavirus affected your court cases? I'm curious to know.
Valerie, we have been seeing some impact of the coronavirus on our court cases. There have been a number of courts that have just recently announced that all civil trials for the month of March have been postponed. So we're starting to see it, and we think it's going to be something that's going to happen in a great majority of the courthouses. So you know, we know that we have clients that have been waiting patiently for their day in court, only to get notice that it's going to be pushed back. But this is new territory for us. And I think what's most important right now is us getting some answers and doing whatever we can possible to make sure that this virus is not spread. The biggest thing is we're just trying to encourage people, not to live in fear. We don't need any type of fear-mongering, but we do need people to be careful and concerned until we are able to get the answers that we truly need to get this handled. Obviously, you know, in time of where we're dealing with a pandemic like we are dealing with now, leadership of this country is so very important. The politics need to be pulled completely out of it. And I think people are looking for directions. And again, until we get, you know, the answers that we really need to have, I think people need to try to do whatever they can to limit their contacts with large groups of people. And I think that's something that can easily be done. If you're able to stay away from the office or whatever and work from home, I know they have been encouraging people to do that, and I think that's not a very bad idea at all. But, you know, just try as much as possible not to stress yourself out, but most importantly, you know, not to put young kids, if you have kids at home, not to put them in fear. Because at this time, this is, if you can imagine how afraid adults are, just think about what children are going through. And I think children are looking at adults for us to tell them that everything's going to be okay. This is just a moment of time that shall pass. Again, the thing that we hoping happens is that people continue to be very active in the civil rights process. Let your voices be heard. Let your local politicians know that you need to see them involved in this, and you need to see them fighting for their constituents. But again, whenever people stand together, when we are united, we get actions, we get results, and we need people to fight and understand when you're fighting for others, you're planting that seed so that if something ever happens to you, that people are going to want to fight for you as well.
Great answer. Attorney Washington, we got Judge Joe Brown in the building now. He just joined us. So I want to rush this last question and also get your contact information. You briefly touched on local politicians, and I was just curious to note, is there anybody that you'd like to reference, anybody you'd like to give a shout out to because they support civil rights?
I mean, you know, Valerie, it's really hard for me to say who stick up for black people because, I mean, there have been so many promises made by politicians over the years that have never been kept. So it's just really hard for me. The most important thing is having a president in office who's not going to go and appoint people to the benches who do not have the interest of people in the black community. So that's the most important thing to me, the power that the president has to make these judicial appointments, these lifetime appointments. You know, he has the ability to impact this country, our lives, for not just the next 4 years, but the next 40 years or so, because of these lifetime appointments. So, you know, I've been seeing a lot of individuals bickering between each other, you know, because they can't decide if they're going to support Bernie or they're not going to support Biden. You know, whoever it is that you decide to support, that's a personal choice. However, I just hope that at the end of the day, whoever is the delegate, whoever is the person that's going to be running against Donald Trump, everybody's able to put everything behind them and come together to support their party. But you must vote. That's not an option. My office number is 214-880-4883. My website is www.dwash.com. That's dwashlawfirm.com. I'm also on Instagram under Attorney Daryl K. Washington. So anytime anyone wants to know what's going on actively in the civil rights community, I tend to post a lot of the current events, and I try to post about some of my cases that I'm handling. So,
all right, Attorney Washington, again, it has been both an honor and a privilege to chat with you today. I appreciate you so much for your time. I definitely value it. As promised, we got Judge Joe Brown in the building, so I'm going to go on and open up his line right now. Welcome, Judge Joe Brown. How are you?
Hello, Ms. Valerie. Hello, Counselor. How are you?
Hello, Judge.
All right, sir.
Judge, it is always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on the line with you. As Valerie and I discussed before you got on, you know, we have to continue to fight. There are so many people who depend on us to fight on their behalf. You know, I had the opportunity to speak at an event a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to attorneys and judges. And one of the things I discussed is, you know, many of us, when we wrote our personal statements to our respective law schools, we said the reason we wanted to be an attorney was so that we can go back to our communities and make a difference, so that we can help individuals who cannot help themselves. And unfortunately, so many people get a taste of these big paychecks that they forgot that personal promise or a personal pledge that they made in order to get into law school. So the challenge I always make to everyone is we all have our part in this fight, and we have to do whatever we can to make a difference in this society. The things that you talk about, the changes that need to be made, we need to do them. And if we don't make these changes, these things are going to continue to happen. I just think this is just a huge wake-up call for us to see that you can't put all your confidence and trust in certain politicians and certain individuals. You have to go out and make things happen for yourself. I don't know all the facts of the Andrew Gilliam incident in Florida, but I can tell you it's shocking to a lot of people, I guess, because they put so much of trust and faith in one man. But, you know, I've always believed that you have the work that needs to be done. Sometimes you have to just roll up your sleeves and just get it done yourself. So, as always, Judge, I enjoy my time talking to you. I look forward to you and I getting together in person and being able to, Valerie, we be able to spend an hour or two on the radio show just really talking about some relevant issues.
Thank you, Counselor. I'm proud of what work you're doing, and that's right. There's this thing about giving back. We've got a black county mayor just got elected, and he claims he's on a fast track to be the next black president. He's bisexual. His wife is, too. They swing with the white folk, and both of them have been law professors for more than a decade, and these SOBs have not done one damn pro bono case in that entire time. You know, law professors got lots of spare time.
Right.
A full paycheck, and they can't give back. That's a disgrace. He won't even come to black functions. He assumes they got the vote, but he has our vote. But the problem is, see, only 28% of the white folk, well, excuse me, of those who can vote for him in the county, only 28% of the registered voters are white. He won't even pay attention to the majority black constituents. But, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. See, I did that. I never wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be something else. Thanks to that SOB Ronald Reagan, when he was California governor and screwed up the University of California, I got stuck when I was supposed to be graduating in 1960. I needed some more, a couple of more classes, and it was going to take me almost a year and a half to get them. And Uncle Sam was going to draft the devil out of me if I didn't do something. So I wound up declaring, I had a political science major instead of the major I intended, which was into a hard science. And I had a scholarship from the Army, and it was going to get me snatched in real quickly if I didn't do something. So I was entitled to one deferment for a postgraduate degree, and somebody suggested law school. But I was always into the business of pro bono and giving back and taking on causes. I just can't understand these people. Like right here in the Shelby County, there was a courageous brother who's done a lot of service for the community, and he ran for sheriff. And the Justice Department had gotten involved talking about the voting machines here are corrupted, and he won his case. And these black lawyers wanted him to give them an $80,000 retainer to handle the appeal of the case he won below all by himself, pro se. And I said, what's wrong with you fools? Don't you vote here? Well, we need the money. Well, man, this is not something you charge somebody for. And I was doing the show, and I couldn't handle anything like that. You know, I had signed a contract. But, I mean, I just don't get it. Out here, some rich white folk on in the area I live in, they said, Judge Brown, we've been trying to hire a black lawyer. I mean, we can't get one. They all scared of this municipality out here. What is the matter? I said, I know. I mean, you can't even take on a municipality, a suburb, and sue them because you're worrying about backlash. What the hell is wrong with you? That's how you get to be a big-time lawyer, is to take on a governmental entity or something and kick behind. And they're running scared. Counselor, may I ask you a question? Not you. This is just an illustration. Why didn't you raise this ground when you had this appeal? Well, you know, Judge, we're not like you guys were. We have to worry about the income, see? And that's a good way for our careers to be scotched. What is wrong with you? You know, not you, Counsel, but I'm just talking about these lawyers. I'm up so chicken-ass, it's pathetic. Got too many of them, and they don't do a damn thing with it. A federal court, I've been doing this for 50 years about, and I'll tell you, federal court has gotten so damn complicated that they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. The complications were to try to smooth things out and make cases move faster. Now they are a complication that retards everything. And under the Reagan era, quite frankly, they put too many federal judges in place who walked into their federal courts as rank amateurs. I know we had one here who's now on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, with due respect, Justice Julia Gibbons. She sent her husband through law school, had three children, went to law school, passed the bar, turned 30 years of age, which was the state minimum for being a state judge. A couple of weeks before she got sworn in, and 3 days later, the governor appointed her as a circuit court judge, and that was the biggest rookie in the courtroom. And then the Reagan administration appointed her a federal judge when she hadn't even been out of law school more than a year.
Wow.
It was just horrible injustice. Her hubby was Mr. Young Republican on a fast track, and the governor appointed him district attorney. The swearing in was delayed an hour and a half because he didn't even know where the criminal courthouse was. Never been there. And that's supposed to be the new DA. See, that kind of thing going on. All right, gentlemen, the court does not know how many challenges everyone's supposed to get, so just take as many as you want. What?
I know you're
kidding. Excuse me, but with due... No, I'm not kidding. But with due respect to the court, doesn't the court know how to look this up? You do have a law clerk, don't you?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, the court does have a law clerk. You think they would be able to find that information out? Oh, geez. Stop. You're the judge and you don't even know. You've never tried a case.
Yes, sir. All right. So at this time, Attorney Washington, if you could go on and shout out your contact information again and any relevant information you'd like for people just tuned in, anything you'd like to reiterate, that would be great. And then we're going to take a few calls before we wrap. So, Attorney Washington, I want to give you a few moments before we transition.
Sure. If you'd like to reach me, my phone number is 214-880-4883. My website is www.dwashlawfirm.com. That's dwashlawfirm.com. Or you can send me an email at dwashington at dwashlawfirm.com. And, of course, I can be found on Instagram at Attorney Daryl Washington. Valerie, it's been a pleasure joining you guys this afternoon. Judge, as always, it's been great, and I definitely look forward to catching up with you again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Counselor
Thank you
Washington,
for, that.
For coming on. You're always a good guest.
Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life, detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. Contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more. Have a great day. See you in the comments section.